this happens because the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. That small s is talking about our spirit, not God's spirit. And I want to just say this before I move on. The reason I brought up the devil possession thing is because people say, well, you have the Holy Spirit in you as a Christian, and God's Holy Spirit wouldn't dwell in the same body with a foul spirit, a devil. He already does. He dwells with your spirit. And it's as wicked and nasty as anything any devil ever wanted to come up with. I mean, we prove it all the time. We just don't pay attention to it. You know, any time God and God's Word confronts you with something you ought to be doing and you say no, you're just acting like a devil. That's all the devil is. The devil is just somebody who says no to God. He's in rebellion against God. Well, when God tells you to do something, no. I'm just going to do it because as a preacher, I ought to do it. There are Christians who don't attend church, even though, and let's just talk about people right here in Worthington. There are people online who don't attend church because it's not a good one to go to. Well, I can say this with a clear conscience. Anyone within driving distance of this building ought to be here. I mean, you're sick, you have to work, stuff happens. But when you can be here, that's the rule. We had, you know, women with babies. And then there's always this thing of, you know, when can I go back to church? Because right now I just can't do it. And I've told her, I've told others, that you do it when you know you should be there. Between you and the Lord. But then there's been women who've used having babies as an excuse to not go to church. Or only go once in a while. You know who they're acting like? A devil. Yeah. And then there's men. Men who, you know, say they can't come to church because they're just worn out from working. I'm tired. Well, you know what? That might be legit sometimes. I'm not judging anybody. I don't think anybody here would ever say that. I came up to them after they missed a church service and wagged my finger in their face and said, "You little devil." But I know good and well it happens. And I've known some cases where it did, where they should be here. And they're not because they're acting like a devil. God says you should be in church. I'm my own God at this moment. I'll do what I want to do. And that's turning on something you know you shouldn't be watching. Listen to something you shouldn't be listening to. Hanging out with people you shouldn't be hanging out with. Name it. You see, so all of us have that spirit in us. We all have to do battle with it. But if you think you're over that, then you already lost. Because you're a liar. And if you live that way thinking, I've already got this thing handled, you're a habitual liar. You're stuck. And that's most Christians I know. Most Christians I know personally. They do not change. They don't even want to change. They don't read the Bible to change. They don't read the Bible and say, Lord, show me something that I need to change. They don't come to church and think, I don't already know everything. They don't come to church and say, they sing it. Search me, oh God. But then they don't sit and listen with a desire for God to confront them. And that's what we're talking about. We talk about the current events update and what's going on with this country. It's Christians that are the problem. Why? Because there's supposed to be about 50 million of them in this country. Well, if there are, there's most of them are in a spiritual coma. See? What's wrong with them? It's their spirit. We must face the reality of our fallen spirit controlling our hearts. That's what we have to face. Here it is. This is the battle royal. Are you ready to rumble? God says versus we says. God says, and then what? Who wins? Too often it's we and not he. Oh, there it is again. Scripture with Scripture. We are in a fight to overcome our flesh. And our flesh, the problem is, is controlled by the heart. Look over at Galatians 5:17, just a few pages. Just a few more minutes, we'll wrap this up. The Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. We read a little while ago in 6:7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." Well, look over at 5, verse 17. See there, read it. "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would." We don't have time to run all the references, but some of you remember like Romans 7. "I do that which I would not, and that which I would, I do not." I mean, you have this battle, and your spirit controls your heart, and if you follow your heart, you're in trouble. Your flesh then gets in the act. That's why Jesus went to the heart of the matter. You hate your brother, you're a murderer. Why? Because that's where murder springs from. That's what he's dealing with there. It's pictured at times like two dogs fighting for control. Have you seen that? You have the white, pure little dog versus the mean, violent-looking black dog. Wolf wanting to devour you. Now the battle going on inside you ladies, I have to say this, looks more like this. That's right. Which one's going to win, ladies? The cute little chihuahua? Of course, my personal battle looks more like this. He's a good looking fella. So, no, it doesn't. It looks like bulldogs do not look like Joe Biden. You watch your mouth or have him removed. Compare bulldogs to Joe Biden. Shame. I rebuke you. Anyway, the answer is actually in the previous verse in Galatians 5 in your Bible. Look at verse 16. There, read that. "This I say then, walk in the what?"
Spirit.
What's it? Capital? Big S, see? All right, read it again. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Now, walking in the Spirit isn't emotional. It's not that you walk around all the time looking like this. "Hey, how are you? How many of you would sit out there and listen to me preach if that's how I look the whole time I preach it?" And that's how a lot of people picture the Spirit-filled Christian. That's why Joel Osteen does it. It's a big act. He's been taught that you're supposed to smile the whole time you're talking, and so that's why he sounds like that. His face is stuck. He probably cries. Yeah. That it's not emotional. The Spirit is God's Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, well, how do you walk in the Spirit? You walk according to God's Word. Remember, Jesus said, "These words that I speak, they are Spirit, and they are life." Faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by the
Word.
So you feel, "Thy Word have I hid in my that I might not sin against Thee." Over and over, this way, that way, the Bible says, fill yourself with my Word, and then let it control you. Doesn't have anything to do with rock bands and speaking in tongues and waving your arms and singing the same seven words 11 times. That's not the Spirit-filled life. Spirit-filled life is God's Word fills you, and you're so full of God's Word, you can't help it. You want to live by God's Word. It really is that simple. It's built upon the foundational truth of salvation, by the way. Look over at John chapter 3. Before the apostles even went out and made the transition from law to grace, Jesus was laying the foundations of the gospel of the grace of God, which Paul and the apostles all preached. John 3, he's dealing with Nicodemus, who I believe is a believer, and after Jesus is crucified, he helps take care of the body of Jesus. Nicodemus is asking, "How can a man be born when he's old?" Because Jesus said in verse 3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But look at this now in verse 5. Read verse 5 with me. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." And that is not talking about water baptism. And people get so messed up. Why? Because Scripture was Scripture. Context, context, context. What's the next verse tell you that the being born of water is? Being born of the water is when you're born in the flesh, you come out of your mother's womb. When your mother gave birth to you, she announced it by saying, "My water has broke." Born of water. But if you're born in the flesh, then that which is born of the Spirit is what?
Spirit.
But you see, the first one's big S. The second one's little S. Your spirit is wicked. It must be born again. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Read verse 7. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." See, that's where it has to start. People who try to walk in the Spirit without having been born again, they're just religious and lost. You have to be born again. You have the Spirit of God in you. Now your spirit, small s, can be controlled by the Spirit of God when you yield. But when you do not yield, you remain really your own God. That's the dangerous thing. That's where it gets ugly. You remain your own God when you are in control. If you want to be a Christian and live the Spirit-filled life, that means you got to let God be God. And how do you let God be God? You let Him call the shots. And that's why I said earlier, that means everybody who is in rebellion against God ought to hate your guts. Just like they did Jesus. And they did what to Jesus? They murdered Him. What did they do to the apostles? What have they done to Christians for 2,000 years by the millions? Now, I'm not telling you to go out and try to get murdered. But I'm saying that, you know, there probably would be a lot more Christians in America being murdered if more Christians were doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's not something I'd be happy about, but listen, you get murdered as a Christian, you wake up in the presence of Jesus Christ. You see, so if Christians live with that reality all the time and realize, you know what, if I get murdered, I'm going to tell you, there's been a few times where I thought I might be murdered. Once, really early on, it was when I didn't know what was going on. I found myself right in the middle of a knife fight. And all you had to do is turn around and I'd be done. Another time I was held up at gunpoint. He was cracked out. I thought any second he's going to pull that trigger. Since then, there's been other times where I've been threatened. I told you about Jenny and I. People tried to run over us with their car. And all these things happen. We don't go out looking for it. I didn't have a sign that said, you know, try to hit me. But doing God's will and serving the Lord, and how many times, I'm not trying to badmouth anybody, but I'll hear people over the years say, "Ooh, that could be dangerous." Yeah, it could be. But you know what? That's not supposed to concern us. If it's doing what God tells us to do. Now, there are some neighborhoods I wouldn't go in without, you know, going as a group and having some detail. But you can do it that way. There's places I wouldn't go at night. I don't ever tell women to go off, especially by themselves, door knocking. I think a woman should go with a man if for no other reason. It just deters things. Use your brain. You can be smart about it. But you know, if you're doing things wisely and you're doing God's word and it gets you killed, see you in heaven. I mean, that's really the biblical way of looking at it. I'm not up here saying it's always the way I look at it. There's been times where I'm like, I better not do that. But you know what? We really shouldn't care. If it's doing God's word, God's will, think of how many people went off into missions and died. We honor them, and we're going to see them in heaven. So salvation is eternal, but the battle for daily control of our flesh continues. And that's why we read 1 Corinthians 15:31, "I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus." Our Lord Paul said this, I die daily. I die daily. Not physically. He's talking about his spirit. He puts his spirit in subjection to God's spirit daily. That's the way we should start every day of our lives. Wake up every day and say, God, help me to put the old man away, to die to self, and to live for you. The one you feed wins. Is it the white puppy or the evil, vicious dog, wolf, whatever you want to call it? The one you feed wins. What are you feeding on? What are you spending your time listening to, watching, talking about, hanging out with, and all that? All that plays into it. As we read then in Galatians 6, 7, continued verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." The only way to win is to be subject to the Word of God. And I'm not going to read that. If you submit to God's word and will, you can experience the Spirit-filled life. James 4, 6, we're going to pick up next week. "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." That's where we'll pick it up next time, on how to receive the grace of God in our practical daily living. All right. We'll close it there and turn to page 50 in your hymn book, if you would. Close with a song. Page 50.